What's up, my lovies? Welcome to another edition of Horror Movie News. Today, we're talking Robert Eggers' new film, The Lighthouse. Also, George Romero's never-before-seen The Amusement Park, which was a TV, a film for TV. And as well as Five Nights at Freddy's film is delayed. And also, we're going to give you our Overlord review. Welcome. Join us today on Horror Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Sid, don't you blame the movies.
Why not?
Movies don't create psychedelics.
They don't?
No, they don't.
Oh, yes. Yes. It takes a creative cycle to make this show happen. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Horror Movie News. Let's get into it. I am your host, Anthony Becerra.
What's up? Carrie Lane here and live in the chat. Thank you, everybody who's already joining us. And if you're watching it later, comment down below.
And also...
Hi, guys. I'm Ollie Drennan. Please talk with us. We love you.
And last, but not least... Our mascot in the booth, who makes this all possible, makes us all look great, makes those lights flash, makes that music happen, makes those pictures you see come up, and videos. Frank and Steve.
Yay!
Thank you, Frank and Steve. Alright, here we go, everybody. Let's get to it. So pretty much, let's break it down to where you can follow us. A little bit of crypt keeping going on. So you can subscribe to our channel at the Popcorn Talk Network on YouTube.com, and you can find our playlist there with all of our episodes. All 50 episodes, including this one. 51 episodes, guys. Ooh. Oh my God!
Gotta get that 100.
We're halfway
there.
We're over the hill. Yes, we are.
We's old.
It's all downhill from that.
Downhill to hell.
Oh. Gladly, yes, please. 100 miles per hour. All right. And Steve's driving us all the way. Yeah. Also, you can find us on the PopcornTalkNetwork.com, our official website, and also. Everywhere on social media, or actually not everywhere, but you can find it on Twitter and Instagram, which are really the ones that matter, at Horror News PTN. And lastly, if you're a podcatcher out there who just likes to listen to audio and doesn't like to look at our ugly faces, that's fine. Just kidding.
We still love you.
Yeah, it's cool. We forgive you. I mean, we'll just curse you a little bit. But yeah, please leave our 5-star ratings on those platforms if you can, especially on iTunes. Type in Horror Movie News. Look for our thumbnail that's right behind us, and that's us. So yeah, and just a breakdown of what's good and what's going on right now for this show, how it's gonna go down. We're gonna talk about some. We're gonna get to some news, of course. We are also gonna nix the history of horror, and just go straight into our review of Overlord, and then we'll have some announcements towards the end, including what's happening with the near future for Horror Movie News. And a special giveaway for a certain movie that came out recently. Yes, so let's get into it. So I do like to start the movie with a horror at the box office, but that does lead into what we're going to talk about with Overlord, because that's the horror film that came out this past weekend in the theaters. So we'll talk about along with how well it did with the review. So, but for now, let's get into our news segments. And so pretty much... I was really excited once I read this because I loved The Witch. I don't know if you guys are a fan of The Witch.
Totally.
Yes. And so this director, Robert Eggers, which I botched the beginning if you saw it live.
Those of you they enjoyed it.
That's a difficult last name, Eggers. You want to say Edgar. You want to put a D in there.
It's
totally fine.
Put a D all up in there. But, you know. But anyway.
Please go on.
Anyways, so Robert Eggers is teaming up once again with A24, which is one of my favorite studios that's up and coming with the genre of films. And it's just been knocking out of the park with films such as like It Comes at Night and many, many others. They're bringing us a new film called The Lighthouse. And it is described as a fantasy horror film, which he wrote and will direct. So the film is about an aging lighthouse keeper named Old. That's very proper. It takes place in Nova Scotia in the early 20th century. Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson will star.
Wow.
So I'm guessing Willem Dafoe is old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be the character
of
old.
What's the other lighthouse one?
There was,
right?
There was
like,
a lighthouse
one.
Film that came out, I believe, in 2016, and it's already out to be rented.
Okay.
Mm.
I thought it was sooner. I thought there was another one where it's like... water monster people things.
Oh, that's called Cold Skin.
Okay, there we go. I was like, there's another one, right?
I read the book on that one. Okay. It's already released. You can rent it on VOD platforms.
That one looked really good, too.
Yeah,
that
I haven't trailer seen looked it. Cool. I haven't seen it yet, but I read the book, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
I know. I'm an avid reader.
Yay!
But anyways, we digress. So let's back to the film. So apart from these details, we also got a little bit of details from the editor. Her name is Louise Ford, who also edited The Witch, Don't Breathe, and Thoroughbreds. Ooh. Which, by the way, Thoroughbreds is a fantastic film that came out this year. If you haven't seen it, it's Anya Taylor-Joy and Olivia Cooke. My God, fantastic performances by both of them. And it's Olivia. Oh, and also it's the last film of Anton Yelchin that he was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was Thoroughbreds. So, lots of goodies, though.
So, I trust her because also Don't Breathe is a phenomenal movie.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I still want to watch it.
So good.
Yeah.
Except along for stupid with kids and using their phone as flashlight, but whatever.
Yes. So we do have the editor of The Witch as well, which is cool. And nice. So, she talked with Mandy News and revealed some behind the scenes details regarding the look and the aesthetic of the film. Pretty much, she says it's set in 1890 and we're shooting on 35mm black and white stock. Virtually unheard of nowadays, she says. Most black and white movies are shot in color and then converted to black and white in post. The dailies look beautiful. It's very exciting. End quote. I'm very excited. I love that. Like, I love films that go, like, set themselves apart from the norm kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, really try to do something crazy.
Yeah.
I'm all down for a black and white horror film coming from Robert Eggers. I trust in him. I feel like this would be a fantastic film. And also, the aesthetic just looks great. Like, imagine if The Witch was in black and white. I think it'd still be great.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they do that with Logan? They released an edition in black and white?
Oh, really?
They did.
Logan?
Yeah.
I didn't know
like
that.
Like, noir.
Yeah.
I know they did one of my all-time favorite movies, Mad Max Fury Road. They did the black and chrome edition, which was really cool. And also The Mist. If you buy The Mist on Amazon for like $12, there's a special edition.
Oh, okay.
And they
do black and white.
There's a black and white version of it, which adds to the terror of it. I still want to watch. Like, I want to buy it and watch that. Still.
I just think it's awesome. We're so excited about it. And then I remember working in video store, and people go, "Oh, it's in black and white. I don't want it."
Oh wow!
It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Uneducated film people. Sip my tea at you.
But yeah, I doubt the. You know, that's not much. Like, I don't think it'd be a hindrance. But black and white kind of like
some
you
people.
Know? Really?
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, I try to accept all film, you know?
As long as it looks good, why not?
Yeah. And then also, like, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, like, both powerhouses. Robert Pattinson post-Twilight, I love him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know? And Willem Dafoe is just, like, a legend, so I can't wait to just see him go at it. And also, I read about this film how, like, Eggers really pushed him to their limits to the point where Robert Pattinson wanted to punch him in the face. Like, and then Robert and Willem Dafoe, they said that they're both, like, during the shoot, it was so extraneous on them that they didn't even talk, like, apart from shooting. Because of during the shoots, like, they're just, like, exhausted afterwards. They're like, I need to go do my own thing.
Well.
Sure.
Yeah, so damn. It sounds like a very grueling film, and I cannot wait. So I'm guessing it'll probably be released maybe late 2019, I'm hoping.
Okay.
Still no details on that. That's just a guess.
Reasonable.
Right? I mean, it'll be a shoot. It takes, like, maybe two to three months to film and then dole it out.
Post-production.
Yeah.
We're all hurry up.
Pretty much. Oh, and here's
we want it.
Another story on the lost film.
Yes. So if you're a fan of George A. Romero, you might be aware that between Season of the Witch and The Crazies, he shot a 60-minute film titled Amusement Park, made in 1973, but it's been largely unseen until this day. It was pretty much a PSA on age discrimination, and it was apparently shot for TV but never was released, and it's been making kind of waves on Twitter because it was found in a way. so it was Daniel Kraus,
He wrote
Troll Hunters. The Shape of Water, Troll Hunters, and The Living Dead. Announced on Twitter that he was watching the virtually unseen Romero movie, and he's been looking for it for the past 20 years. Which,
damn.
How much like of a I found it euphoric would that be to find it?
Yeah.
So he has this. You should go to his tweet to read the full thing. But
I was just about to say on this tweet, there's also screenshots of the film itself.
Yes. Yeah. So you can see that.
Which look interesting.
So he called the film a revelation, quote unquote, as well as, quote, Romero's most overtly horrifying film.
Ooh,
so, right? You're like, hype, hype. Tell me? So he also went on to say, quote, the people who funded it wouldn't allow it, and no wonder, it's hellish. In Romero's long career of criticizing American institutions, never was he so merciless. And he continued saying, where you can see the savage masterwork, you can't. But I'm dedicating myself to changing that. Can you help? Yes, probably. So give me some time to figure out what's what. So how we could probably help is his late wife, Romero's wife, Susan Romero, had teased earlier this year that a film Romero shot in 73 was going to be restored and released for all to see. So now we know that's amusement park. Mm-hmm. She mentioned last month we're going to restore it. And we're going to show it to Romero's cinephiles. Scary movie, but it's not a horror movie. And it's about ageism, which I think is also a very interesting topic.
Okay.
So he has a cameo in it. And you can go look at the foundations. She said the foundation's going to try to get the restoration. So there is a way to help assist in the restoration, too. Like, donate to their foundation,
Like a GoFundMe, maybe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's exciting if you're a Romero fan. And that's I like the idea of, like, hidden footage by the filmmakers you love coming back. And I was like,
that
rose
cool.
from the dead.
A long PSA on, like, ageism?
Yeah. And so the idea
it's
is it's, like,
amusement park?
Yeah, it's an older gentleman going to an amusement park and, like, stuff happens.
He's like, you can't ride this ride. You're too
maybe.
Old.
Maybe. Which I think it's interesting because, like, aged is not as often a topic for films. It's just kind of dismissed the way older people are. So
I actually I got a sneak peek at the film. There's a scene where an old man goes up to an amusement park to one of the rides and he goes, can I ride this ride? And then the guy's all like, you got car insurance? I'm kidding. That was a terrible joke.
Oh, anyway. I was like, what?
You guys remember those commercials?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Not that one.
Really? You got car insurance? And then the guy's like, no. And then she was all like, I can't take that ride. No? Oh, jeez. I aged myself.
I can appreciate that. It was kind of a chuckle.
Okay.
No, but
anyways, it's interesting about the movie. Yeah. Look out for the amusement park. And I bet if you go check out Daniel Krause on, that's KRAUS on Twitter to go see that thread about the film.
Yeah. And also, The Living Dead is actually the book that George Romero was writing while he passed, but then he passed away. And then that's why Daniel Krause is a credited writer on that, because he's finishing what he was,
the
story he was writing, which is interesting. And also, Trollhunters I love on Netflix.
Oh, I love Trollhunters. That's so good.
Have you finished it?
Not
Trollhunter. Trollhunters, which is the animated children's show
by DreamWorks.
Oh, I
have not
DreamWorks.
Seen all of it, but I do love that as well.
It's so good.
I was thinking
good.
The Trollhunter... No,
right.
Wait. Is it both or no? This is a different thing.
The Trollhunters is a show that we're referring to right now.
Oh, that one's singular for the other one. But
Trollhunter.
Yes, I like
both.
Both? But no, I have not finished the series.
All spectrums of Trollhunters we
yes,
like.
Yes, we like all.
Sorry trolls about that, everybody.
No offense to the trolls, but we like things hunting them, apparently.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Steve. Anyway,
Ollie. All right.
You have some news.
I do.
Yes.
Something also that kind of has to deal with hunting.
Yay.
Have you guys ever heard of a game called Five Nights at Freddy's?
Listen, I've heard of this game.
I know about it.
Well, I've heard of this game. I know nothing about it. I've seen the dolls and everything, and I just don't get it. I'm sure it's like a very child...
It's so popular with kids.
With kids,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It has such a horrific background, and like kids die. Like, basically... You play this game. This is a quick little synopsis. You are like a security guard. You're trying to stay alive for 5 nights at Freddy's, which is kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese in this world. And the animatronics come to life and try to kill you throughout the night.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Basically all you really
that's
need to know.
Scary and awesome.
Exactly, and it's terrifying. It's mostly known for its jump scares. It's not actually like scary. It's mostly you're gonna get
startled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's gonna be. Given a film adaptation, which I'm really excited about, and director Christopher Columbus, yep, that's his name, revealed that the script has been tossed out for the Five Nights at Freddy film adaptation. So I'm like, oh man, here comes the delay.
Yep.
According to Polygon, game creator Scott Cawthon talked the future of all things Five Nights at Freddy's on stream earlier, and he announced that it's been delayed for the time being, and it's been in production for a really long time.
Sounds like it's been in production
Since like, I think maybe the first couple games came out.
Huh.
So he quoted, "I had a script written. Jason Blum liked it, and Christopher Columbus liked it too, but I tossed it. I had a different idea for it, one that I liked better. I take responsibility for this delay. It's my fault. I'm determined to find the right story." And he went on to say, "I'm sticking to what I've always said. Either the right movie gets made or no movie gets made."
Which I like it.
I totally respect that.
Yeah. I do too.
"I hate delaying a project that's already seen so many delays, but I have to go with my instincts on what I think will be exciting and interesting and what I think the fan base will really want to see." Because this is a very extremely, like, popular fan base. It's like kind of underground.
It can like make or break it kind of thing. It can be very polarizing.
You don't even have to know what it is, but you like you mentioned, you see those damn dolls. Kids love this. They play it on their iPads.
Yep.
But if that means that I have to start over 10 more times, then that's what I'm going to do. The good thing is that each attempt gets better and better, in my opinion. So despite the delays, it's going in the right direction.
Cool.
Side notes is that he's focusing on the story told during the first three games.
Wow, three games.
Sorry. Yeah. And it's, I can kind of...
How much storyline can be in this in these games?
Like, the games are kind of quick. They're not that long, so I can understand why he wants to kind of put them into one and kind of bundle it. So I'm not too scared about that, but I'm really excited. I hope this is actually like a, it's like a very terrifying concept. Like, so I really hope the way they pull off these animatronics and how they go about it, I really hope they do it justice.
And and I personally haven't seen a movie where like animatronics come to life at like a kid's like play thing, Chuck E. Cheese style, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if like, yeah, I don't know if anyone else has seen, is there anything out there that's similar to this? I'm sure there is. I just can't think of it.
Comments down below if you know.
Yes.
The closest.
Yeah, it's one of those you're racking your brain, you go, I haven't.
I'm only thinking of like Chopping Mall where like the animated like robot like securities like turn on the people and stuff. That was really bad.
You were saying you thought something, Ollie?
Oh,
I
don't
know.
Did
you think there was
one? Well, like, it's kind of like you go to Chuck E. Cheese or some kind of similar place, and you're always kind of creeped out by, like, those animatronics.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're creepy, and, like, I'm glad that they, we kind of have,
those
like...
Those eyes.
Yeah, those eyes.
Those soulless eyes.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for this movie. It's going to be a while.
Are you an avid fan of the Five Nights at Freddy's?
Not really, honestly. Okay. But I want to see it live action and how they're going to go about it.
I kind of want to play these games now. Like,
I do
to see
too.
What, to see what's all the hubbub
about.
They
just seem very stressful. But,
Yeah, if that happens, I'm out. But yeah, and I really love how he's like, I hate delaying the project. You know, it's like, he takes responsibility for delaying the project. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And also... Yeah. How he says that I have to go with my instincts, and I respect that because I feel like instincts is very important, especially if you're like a person who's able to listen to your instincts when they come about, and to actually act on your instincts is something very like, I don't know, something very mature that you know yourself and you know the confidence that you have within yourself to really act on them. And I think it's very respectable in my opinion.
Totally. Well, it could be worse because then they make it and they go against those instincts and then it's not as good as it could have been. Yeah. And then the whole time you're sitting there going, oh, I should have listened and I could have done this.
And then just,
and it's all the shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Full of regrets.
And then,
Yeah, so he sounds like a really smart fellow. I like that he's listening to his instincts.
Nice.
He's a game creator. He knows the game better than anyone else. He wants it to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he can get as close to perfection as he can.
Yes,
totally.
Right on. And is that it for that story?
It is, sadly. But there's more games coming, too. So waiting for the movie, you can play those new games that are coming out soon. So.
Yes.
Yes.
I know. Horror video games are all... I'm all about it.
Oh,
I have, like, a back catalog full of them. Like, I just have a bunch and haven't played any of them yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Games take time. I haven't played games in a while, too.
I know. I've been busy.
But then I'll sit and, like, binge watch 5 hours of a show and go, oh, yeah, about that.
Yeah, that's when it's worth it, though.
Yes.
Like The Haunting of a Horror.
Haunting of Hill House.
There it is. Nailed it.
It's amazing.
Yes. I haven't seen it yet, but anyways.
Yes.
This is not really news. This is more like a, how did you say it? An editorial.
Editorial piece.
I just kind of want
to. It's essentially a polite and fancy way to say it's an opinion piece.
Yes, cool. All right. I'm going to take something from Family Guy. You know what grinds my gears, America?
Uh-oh.
Oh, what's happening?
You're getting your soapbox horror
music. So, pretty much, Vogue released this article saying that 2018 has not been a good year. Not a great year or a fantastic year. It has not been a good year for horror films.
Hmm.
And a lot of us horror fans beg to freaking differ.
I saw that headline on Twitter and I go, excuse me?
I rolled my eyes so hard.
Yes.
So... pretty much. So there's this writer for Vogue, and Vogue, mind you, is the industry leading voice of horror news. I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. Oh, horror movies. No, yeah,
it totally is.
I had no idea they had opinions on horror films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get all my news from Vogue, by the way, yeah, for this show. By the way, that's all a lie. I'm just joking.
Yeah. Yo, that's sarcasm, if you can't tell.
Yes, yeah, very sarcastic. So yeah, this writer named Taylor Antrim, because I want to say his name.
Call them out.
Yes, exactly. So his name is Taylor Antrim. He wrote this article, and it says pretty much that 2018 has not been a good year for horror. He released the article on November 8th, and I've read it, and it's just a bad article. It's really bad. You'd be screaming your head off if you're horror fans like I am, and you're just like...
I skimmed it. I couldn't even read it. I was like, what? Yeah. What? Nope. Don't care.
So I went almost paragraph by paragraph, excluding all the TV stuff that he said. But
thank you for saving it for us.
For you, like, guys, if you guys want to handle the TV stuff. But
No, saving Reddit so we don't have to.
Oh, no, you're right. Yes. Right, of course. That's what I'm here for.
You suffered for us.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I almost had an aneurysm or two. but yeah, so it came out on November 8th, and I went paragraph by paragraph and like started thinking, like picking apart like what he said.
Yeah.
So he starts off in the first paragraph listing 2017's greatest hits, such as like Raw and It Comes at Night, Get Out, Split, It, etc., and all these cool like mega blockbusters that made a lot of money, and also that they were just great horror films. And then, so to me, I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, it gave me some credibility to the guy, you know. I was like, all right, he's speaking my language.
Not
so
totally
far.
Not totally off the rocker.
Exactly. Okay. And then the second paragraph hit me like a slap in the face, y'all. Uh-oh. Like, and I was like, okay. So I quote this. He goes, okay, there was Hereditary in June. There was A Quiet Place, which was a fun 90 minutes at the multiplex, but really more of a PG thriller than a horror flick. Let that sink in for a bit. First off, yes, thank you, Frank and Steve. Oh, he's frustrated. You don't even want to know what he just said, guys.
iTunes listeners, we're glaring. We're just like,
I am kind of offended.
It's only
going
to get worse.
Yeah, we're like, keep going, please.
So let me just break that down, though. Fun at the multiplex, but more of a PG-13 thriller. I don't know. It's been long debated whether or not thrillers make horrors. I personally, in my opinion, I think thriller is a subset of horror,
yeah,
mainly because thriller is more acceptable at the Oscars than
yes,
horror is acceptable at the Oscars or any awards
true
ceremony. Pompous
well,
jerks.
Well, a serial killer movie could be a thriller or a horror movie, so it's just the most thrillers don't involve anything supernatural
cool
or extreme.
Right.
But yeah. Wait,
we'll
Frank
let that one
Steve
lie.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I just think it's ridiculous. And the second paragraph. Okay, so that, and then so yeah, and then the third paragraph also starts off with I think even worse, saying I quote, "We didn't even get a decent shark movie this year." Unquote. It's laughable. It's like you said. Like,
the Meg is extreme, but it was fun.
It
was an
great,
awesome movie.
And I would, like, to this, I would say, like, the fact that we got a mega blockbuster like The Meg in theaters is a testimony to the state of how great and successful horror films is right now at our time.
And it made tons of money.
And it made tons of money.
People went and saw that movie.
You said it was a fun movie.
It was super
seen it yet
fun.
Yeah.
It's extremely over the top, but it's one of those movies go, did you watch the trailer? It's exactly what you got from the trailer of like, it's giant
it's
shark.
It's campy fun.
Why
yeah
do you, I don't know how anybody would think it's anything different. Oh, those
which
people
is exactly what shark movies are.
Yes!
They're kind of over the top.
Yes, that's
I mean,
the
they
point
are.
That's why you go see them.
Yeah, one of the most extreme examples is Sharknado, the Sharknado
yes
series.
And they've made like 7 of them.
All very
wow
successful.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say that Halloween, the most recent release of Halloween, wasn't scary, which was a problem, and prefers revenge to Halloween in the context of female empowerment. But to this I said, hey buddy, Revenge was released this year.
Oh my god, I forgot about Revenge.
Yes, Revenge was released this year.
Oh my god.
And he doesn't even like pay like say that in the article. He doesn't say, by the way, Revenge, which was released earlier this year,
yeah,
was a much better
yeah
like a female empowerment. Like
do
that's
your research,
how you would
buddy.
That's how you would write that, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm literally writing goddamn
yeah
idiot.
And also, he's definitely focusing on like mostly mainstream horror films. He's not even like giving
any
notice
indies
to the underrated ones such
yes
as Revenge.
Yeah.
So he's not doesn't seem at all. Yeah, you made some good points from last year, but at the same time, like
yeah,
you need
and
to do some more digging.
And then this is where it gets personal for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
oh,
real
no
quick, chat does agree the Meg was fun. So thank you, chat.
Yeah, and go read this article, chat, because yes, it's ridiculous.
Tweet at us your it's thoughts on funny. This one.
He, and then in the next paragraph, he comments on Suspiria saying, it's not much of a horror film, saying it was made into a self-serious art film set in Berlin, which is so stylized and airless that it's impossible to feel much of anything watching it beyond confusion. First off, it's such a horror film, okay? Second of all, a art house film can be a horror film,
yes,
a la freaking the original Suspiria film. Which was touted by critics all around that it's a brilliant art house horror film. It's a horror film, but it's also a brilliantly made, beautiful looking film. And it's just and it also beyond its confusion just shows me that he didn't get the ending. Granted, I didn't get the ending either, but still.
Mandy came out this year too, right?
And that was
also
very
bizarre and
art house experimental. Yeah. Yes.
Wait. Did Mother come out last year? Or
that was 2016, I think.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I think.
Yeah.
Was it that late? Oh my gosh.
Or was it? No, it might have been last year. Oh,
okay.
Yo, Carrie.
I'll go look.
Yo, Carrie. Check it out.
Yeah, Mandy, definitely. That one's old. Yeah. I mean, I'm not old, but Mandy was weird. I just saw that yesterday.
It's a beautifully shot film.
But
yeah.
it's not a regular horror movie. So.
Yeah, it's experimental. Just like his first film felt very experimental.
Mother was last year.
Last year. Okay, cool.
So you weren't totally off.
And lastly, here's a kicker that really got to me a bit. He goes, quote, horror needs an element of fun and dark delight, in parentheses, Hereditary, which I liked, missed this quality too, in parentheses, still quoting, and I defy you to take any delight in Suspiria. Yeah.
I don't think deep horror sigh. Needs a dark delight. You can have a horror movie and be just totally effed up by it, you know?
A la Hereditary.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't like it, but I could still recognize it's an amazing film.
Yes.
And it's a great step in, multiple people seeing a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never trash it, this is a bad horror movie. I didn't like it, but that doesn't make it, a bad year for horror. Boy.
Right, exactly.
Sounds like he just has requirements for horror, and I don't think you necessarily need requirements for horror, because horror is a special genre where there's so many different components to it that are so unique to each and every film, TV series, whatever, book, you know, because everyone has a different interpretation of what scares them or what is horrifying to them.
Exactly.
So if you're scared of spiders, arachnophobia could be you know, that's a crazy movie for you.
Yeah, so when I read that part, I instantly wrote down my thoughts, and I was like, where the F does it say horror needs an element of fun? I'm sorry, Taylor Antrim, I don't know that you wrote the book on horror, and that by all means, please enlighten us with your fruitful wisdom of this genre that you're such an expert at. Thank you, Steve. Yes, he's literally, he's embodying my frustration right now.
Yeah.
So luckily Brad Miska from Bloody Disgusting, they write an article on this as well, because good. I mean, all of the horror fans,
all the horror people on Twitter,
they're
are
up
like...
in arms. They're up in we are all up in arms and everything. And he's also one of my favorite writers on this site, mainly because I read most of his articles, and it's just, he's a brilliant writer. he just nails it every time. But he quotes, I quote this, and I think it was a really nice message towards the end of that article. Mm. He goes, this feels like yet another mainstream hit piece, one that perhaps it's best to give no attention to at all, but it's hard not to. After all, this is exactly the kind of bullshit we horror fans constantly have to deal with. You see, when horror is having a down year, they'll write, quote, horror is dead when it's not. No, horror is dead, period. When it's not, like it has been for the
when
past
few...
thank you so much. When it's hot, like it has been in the past few years, they quantify and remove films to fit their narrative. We're low class to them. There's no way a horror film could be so good that deserves awards, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to wrap it up by saying, I don't understand how one of the biggest magazines on the planet can allow someone to write a horror hit piece having just seen a small handful of horror films, ? And that's what I'm saying. And I'm saying, let's not pretend we are in the middle of one of horror's greatest renaissance today, in these past years. So Vogue magazine, I tell you, Vogue magazine, look at me. I'm telling you this right here. Hashtag stay in your lane, please.
That is also, besides this, is a really good hashtag of, what that really
I've,
is
I've
trending.
I've heard about it. Yeah, that's
oh my
I thought
gosh,
it was funny.
That is some hot stuff right there on Twitter. Hashtag stay in your lane. Go read about it.
And also, Taylor Antrim, please just stop watching horror movies.
Yes.
Or writing about them, please. And also, what made this a bit even like sweeter was when Fangoria did clap back to the tweet, because this was sent out in a tweet.
Yeah.
Vogue tweeted it out saying 2018 has not been a good year for horror.
Yeah.
And then Fangoria clapped back to that saying 2018 has not been good for fashion.
Oh my god.
Leading to the whole point that art is all subjective. Yes. And anything goes. Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
But also believe it or not, this article is a win for the fact that Vogue, a fashion article, is writing about horror. Mm-hmm. We're in a time where horror cannot be ignored to the point that Vogue magazine is writing about horror. Granted, it's a shitty article, but they're writing about horror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a win.
I know you didn't cover it, but they, in my skimming of it, they dissed Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, I hated that. Yeah.
We're done. I watched that show. If you have not watched it, go watch it on Netflix. It's amazing.
Yes. And yeah, I need to watch that. I do really need to watch
that. But yeah, that's just so...
I know, it's frustrating.
But that's like, we're seeing JLS in comics in the chat says, you have to be educated on a subject to write a good op-ed piece. Yeah, it feels like, did you do your research? And like how you were saying, Ollie, there's so many indie films that it's like, excuse me, about those? What about those?
Yeah, and it's also like so opinionated. It's such an opinionated piece as well. Like, it's just, it just kind of feels like his thoughts on like, yeah, I didn't feel like this year was really good. And this is why. And like it's kind of like off the top of his head and yeah. what he remembers from like the year, that it doesn't feel like it's backed up from anything really, anything substantial, at least for me personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much an opinion piece, not really a analytical piece.
Yeah, so I don't know why they allowed that to happen, but anyways.
And it's like, it sounds like they completely ignored box office numbers, because I would include that, be like, excuse me, they made a ton of money.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that means they're doing good.
They're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. And so
we're like,
onto a better topic, onto a lighter, a topic I love, our fans. Hello, fans, and welcome.
Yes.
Just kidding, you're already here. But yeah, I just want to say thank you all for joining us on this show, and the 50 episodes has been quite the delight. There's mm-hmm. been ups, there's been downs, there's been all arounds, and it's been fun. I really enjoy doing this show. I enjoy doing this show with you guys as well, my lovely co-host. I just want to say, please show your support for our show to keep us going. Give us those thumbs up on YouTube. Give us those likes on YouTube. Give us those comments. Also, if you are a podcatcher out there, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and tell us what you like about the show. What are some segments you want to hear about or things you want to you want more of? You know. Also, hit us up on our social media at Horror News PTN. Any suggestions or to show us your love for us and just like show us that you're out there. And that you're listening and everything, you know?
Nice.
Just want to say that to our fans out there. And quickly, I just want to go through the... did you need to have something
to say? Oh, I was going to say, shout out to the people in the chat.
Shout them out.
We got Sky Patterson, Rugged English, hey. JLS Comics, Patrick Olinger.
The usual suspects.
Wellington.
You guys are so dedicated. Thank you so much.
I was like, I know some of you are watching and staying quiet. Oh, Edgar Alves. And yes, thank you so much. And if
Patrick
I didn't say your name,
Olinger.
You haven't said anything, so.
Patrick Olinger, huh? That's cool.
There's a lot of people in there, so.
Yes, thank you for joining us, and thank you for saying stuff. And we love you, even if you didn't watch us live. Comment down below on your thoughts and what we talked about.
Hey, Sky Patterson says, great job on the show, Anthony B.
Yay.
Hashtag Big Mac Babe.
Oh, my.
Hey, hello.
Well, I know you're saying releases of this week, but I wanted to say real quick, just because I just watched it last night, there is a movie on Netflix. It's a new original film. It's called, if I pronounce it right, Armentari, The Blacksmith and the Devil.
Ooh,
it is a... based on Basque folklore, so you might have seen that added. I do recommend it. It's pretty cool. It's kind of quirky in a cool way. I do recommend the original language because I feel like you feel like you're there more.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting demons and devils and things.
Okay,
cool.
Right on. I that was on my list as well. I've been meaning to check that out.
It's not really, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it has some cool...
Concepts. Okay.
Yep.
Right on. Real quick, releases for the week. There is no releases coming to theaters this week, but there are some coming to VOD. There's two in particular that I want to bring your attention to. One's called The Clove Hitch Killer on Video On Demand. Just look that up, The Clove Hitch Killer. The trailer was great. I really like the trailer. It's like this kid, he slowly starts to suspect that his dad is actually an infamous killer from his town. And he slowly starts to unravel, like, what his dad is actually up to. Like, his dad has a shed that keeps locked. He always keeps locked and stuff. So it's a very cool premise. And then another film called The Farm that's also on VOD. That one just looks batshit insane. Like, I don't even know what's going on in that movie. Nice. Think of, like, think of if the Texas Chainsaw Massacre ran a human farm. As in, they would kidnap people, yeah. bring them to a farm, and the people are like the farm animals, and they like eat them little by little, and yeah, and like they feed them gruel or whatever.
Is this a PSA for being a vegetarian?
I'm guessing so, yeah. And then all the people in the farm, they wear like animal masks, which I thought was really cool, really ironic, you know. I got a sense of like Animal Farm for some reason. I don't know why, but like maybe it's like that reversal that they're trying to go for.
Sure,
definitely. Like a saying of like, hey, don't eat meat. I'm pretty sure.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Or just California, we did just pass our bill for better treatment of animals.
Treat your livestock better.
Cali, doing what's right. Don't use them.
Like, get me started.
All right, now let's get into our main meal, main course.
Main course.
The main course. Yes, The Abyss. Pretty much what films we've been watching and what we'd like to recommend. Amy already did an honorable mention. My God. I'm so sorry. Carrie already did an honorable mention with
Aramintari.
Thank you for that.
The Blacksmith and the Devil.
Yes, but we are getting down into the dirtiness of Overlord. Let's roll that trailer if we can, and we'll talk over it because we have to. Yes, so the quick overview of Overlord. So it is directed by Julius Avery, and he only has one main feature called Son of a Gun back in 2014. But this is his first mainstream debut, like for film, because like
which is pretty awesome. Go him.
Yeah, and it was a good film. Synopsis: A small squad of American soldiers find horror behind enemy lines on the eve of D-Day. They're actually paratroopers that have to go and take out this tower in order to help back up the invasion of Omaha Beach, I believe.
The air support.
Yes, exactly. So without taking out that tower, it's going to be very hard for the American troops to provide air support to the troops on the beach. So their mission is very important and very vital to this invasion plan. So it stars Jovan Adepo, who played like this voice, who is a main character that you see in the trailer. We also have Wyatt Russell, who plays Ford, which was one of my favorite characters in the film as well. Matilda Olivier, who is Chloe, and she is a badass chick. Absolutely. My God, I love her. Also, Pilo Asbeck, who plays Wafner, who is the main bad guy, really. Mm-hmm. He's also in Game of Thrones. He's one of the Greys. He's like the uncle that comes back. Of Theon Grey. He's like the uncle that's like such a douche. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember that when I watched it, but yeah.
Yeah, he plays the main German guy, like the bad. He looks different without any facial hair.
It makes a big difference.
Yes. So a little bit on the box office performance, it actually came in third between second to Bohemian Rhapsody and fourth The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. The film made $10 million in its opening weekend. And I love that it's like back in black. I love that whole like, are they gonna use this this music in the
yeah, we talked about film. Like, is this aesthetic from the trailer gonna be in the film?
Yeah, the trailer makes it up to be a lot crazier than it actually is, in my opinion. Yeah, but overall, I think it was a great film. So I want to start off with...
Okay, wait. Real quick, not a spoiler, but so you don't build expectation, that scene does not play out as it does in the movie, and I was disappointed.
It doesn't pay off as much as you'd want, yeah.
Yes, because the creepy voice, I was like, it's cool what it is, but I wanted more.
Exactly, and we'll talk about it.
So, but anyway.
Yes, let's do some overall thoughts of what you thought, overall thoughts on the film.
Overall, I did enjoy it. I do think the trailer makes it cooler than it actually is.
Agreed.
I think it's more of a war movie with some horror.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And so it's still really good, but I felt they could have done more horror for my taste. Mm-hmm. That would have made it even better.
I went into the movie not even seeing the trailer, so honestly,
good for you. Yeah.
Watched the trailer. I kind of also kept running through my mind throughout the film watching it how there was that rumored that it was also in the Cloverfield universe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was obviously a rumor that was just taken away. Like, that's false, not the, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like a standalone film, but I completely agree with you that it's kind of... I think I wanted more. Like, something else, something was missing. It wasn't a bad film. Like, I totally recommend it. Go see it.
Solid film.
But I wanted something... that was less about war? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yes. Okay, so I think we all feel the same way about that aspect of the film. Yeah. So I think our overall consensus is it's a great film.
Yeah.
But we wanted a little bit more of something.
Yeah.
Which was, and I think because the whole, like the whole going into the base and seeing all the scientific experiments that I felt like it didn't really pay it off too much. Like, we saw some of them, but I wanted more of the experiments running around, more of, like, the batshit, like, deformities that they were creating, you know? We saw some of it, but I wanted to know more about it.
Yeah.
I want to know how the serum works. I want to know why are they developing this. I want to know what fields, like, tests have they gone through it. By the way, this is going to be, like, complete spoiler.
Yeah,
my God. I'm so sorry, everybody.
This isn't too spoilery yet.
Yet, yeah. But.
Well, the problem with that is we're following the characters that are in there and how little they know. And so we're there in their position, and that's the only way that I'm kind of like, well, they don't know, so then we don't know. But yes, we're like, can we know more?
Yes.
Tell us more about this. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's literally in my con list, like, that's, like, the main problem I said.
Yeah.
Was just, like, I wanted to see more of this crazy, like, these crazy experiments.
Creatures or whatever you want to call them.
We only
see
them in little bits.
In little bits, yeah. And we only see, like, very limited ones, too. And the voice, yeah. But other than that, it doesn't hinder it enough to where it's, like... It's a bad film, you know?
Yeah. No.
If anything, it makes me wanting more. Like, I want more of this. Like, if there can be a part two, I want it to happen.
Well, I think what's weirder, too, and, like, makes us want more, is the Nazis really did do crazy-ass experiments on people.
Yeah.
So it's like, that isn't false.
It's not far from the truth.
So it's like, give us more from it, yeah.
Yeah, it's not far. Like, it never goes too far from reality.
Yeah.
Even though you see some crazy things, like reanimation, like literally from like taken out of the movie of like Reanimator, like literally the syringe and everything, and they come back to life, but then they get all grotesque and everything. Like, that is rad. That's such a cool concept, and I just want to see more of that.
Yeah,
I liked how it was kind of like that grindhouse feel.
Yes.
And I have to say, like, even though it didn't have, like, it was very horrifying even in the beginning with like the whole plane going down. Like, I thought that was really scary, and that usually doesn't terrify me, but I'm like, oh my God, this is really creepy. That's crazy.
Oh, like, the parachute even, and like the water. I'm like,
I want to talk about our highlights pretty much.
Yeah.
And then the first highlight I have is the opening paratrooper scene, which just goes batshit crazy. Like, oh my God, I loved it. I love how, like, it's all quiet, it's all calm, and then he wakes up with the bumpingness of it all. And then that's when he's in the shit, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then that's when, like, everything starts happening, and it all happens so fast, and so, it's all so dynamic, too. Like the plane burning up and the people like going into the fire, and he's like trying to not go into the fire, and then, it's just so good.
Well, because that was real too, and that's like, and like, imagine if you were that person on the plane and like you jumping to the ground, you probably die.
And also, like, when
okay, fine, we're doing spoilers.
We are doing spoilers. Yeah.
I mean, we kind of said yes, but yes, overemphasizing, we're saying spoilers.
Oh yeah, definitely spoilers. also, like, the whole during that peaceness, like, I was in my head, I was like, man, like, these guys are about to go to war. Like, what can be going through their heads? Like, they don't even know. Like, because I've seen movies, so I know how bad being in an airplane can get because of all the movies I've seen. But think about these guys. Like, they've never seen a war movie before. They've never, like, had to go through this terrain. Like, even the main character, Boyce, 3 months earlier, he was just, like, cutting his lawn. Now he's thrust into this war that's, like, he has to fight for his country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, dang.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that whole aspect was great. I think the story was great. The acting was superb. The way everything looked was so immersive. Like, I never, like, once thought, like, oh, this is a movie. Like, no, like, I was always so invested in the film.
Even the little village.
The acting was really well from everyone. Like, I don't think there was, like, a actor in there that, like, was, like, slacking. I thought everyone did their job. Like, everyone had really good chemistry as well.
Yeah.
And that little kid.
I know, the little kid was great. And there is some dark humor in this film too. Yeah. Like the whole, like the guy was like, yeah, I want to write a book once I get back. It's like, hey, maybe you can use your pictures to get, and he just steps on a landmine and blows up.
Oh my God. I bet that happened all the time.
That was so vicious, but also funny. Like to me, like, I was just like, that's fucked up, but that's also really funny.
But then they made a joke about it too, because that's what you do. And like when shit happens, you're like, well, that's the only way we're going to get through it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like how he says, like, he was there and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
And then Ford is like, but you are.
Yep.
So get your head straight. We got a mission to do. And it's like, dang, you can't. There's no there's no time for sympathy.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, like I said, it was very easy to suspend my disbelief. I think one of the main highlights was Matilda Olivier, who played Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
So freaking cool. When she picks up that flamethrower, was like...
Yes! She's done that before.
I know, right? She was like,
it with you. I want her to take it with her.
She was very reminiscent of the girl in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
You know, that really strong character from that film, the theater owner.
Yeah.
Shoshana?
I can't remember.
Also, when they were going to look for the brother, and she's like, I'm not waiting.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, she takes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought
she
was going to die, too, at one point. Like, when she went...
Dude, she got beat up.
Faced off against the creature.
Ugh, it was
running
great.
From that was good, scary.
Yeah. I know, yeah. Oh, that was... Also, that's true.
Honestly, the biggest jump scare I had was the kid. When the kid, like... Remember when she just... brought them to the house.
And then he shows up.
He shows up
pointing a gun.
Not expecting that.
Yeah.
That was the scariest part.
Well, even the soldier was like, dude, stop it, man. You're gonna get shot.
I love their relationship.
Oh, they're so cute.
He's like, don't have this kid doing such creepy things or whatever.
Yeah, put a bell on this kid.
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put a bell on this kid.
Yeah, they were so funny. Good. Like, great relationship.
And then, like, remember when the Germans just, like, spit on his ball and throw him back?
That's why I'm like, rude. I wanted more. Like, I want some kind of, like, I know we're not going to get like some kind of continuation of the film because something was like missing and maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Germans had a lot of bases like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be one that they never discover.
Well, there was something about that area. There was like an anomaly in the
Earth. Oh, that's right.
So that's why they were there.
Maybe it can, like, you know, cut to modern day. They're fracking. They're redoing the city, you know. They're digging up, you know, who knows what.
Remember, like, the jackal scene where he saw the dead animal or something? So I thought there was going to be, like, more creatures.
Yeah. There's no killer dogs.
No. Yeah. Only that one dog that chases them into
dog.
The...
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that happened, too, I was like, where's this movie going? Let's go back to... What about the things at the house and the stuff? We're like, are we going to go back there? Yeah, I was just freaking out internally.
And
I was like,
ant, we don't see a whole lot with that.
Oh, but that was creepy. Yeah.
That's creepy. No, okay. I want to call him Fitz. I'm like, because he's from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Well, it's Fitz. His scene. Ugh, ooh, and the bony stuff, like on the shoulders.
Oh, that's Fitz?
That's Fitz.
Oh, yeah, that was weird how his, like, everything just collapses into itself. Like,
That was gross.
Yeah, it was
so
pretty great.
Good gore, like, ugh.
Yeah, the gore was very reminiscent of, like, how Tarantino does gore. Like, when you get shot, when someone gets shot in Tarantino films, like, blood just splatters everywhere.
Yeah.
That's how the gore is in this movie. Yeah, that's how I felt it was.
The bad guy with his face.
Oh,
that did look
crazy.
Okay, but with the one soldier, when he had, like, the pump or whatever in, like, when
there'd be more with that.
Me too.
And I thought he was dead and there was more weird shit with him.
I thought at the end, I thought he was like infected or something.
Me
and total spoilers. I thought they were going to do something with him since he was being experimented on.
Right.
Me too.
I feel like they kind of dropped
the ball. Like a delayed experiment kind of thing.
Yeah,
same.
There wasn't like an end credit scene, was there?
I did not stick around.
Neither did I. I didn't think there was.
No, I had to go.
Because I really thought they were going to do something with him's character. Because like, why else would you bring that character back?
That'd be a cool follow-up.
Yeah, there
exactly.
was nothing.
So... That was something that was kind of...
Well, surprisingly enough, we all want more of this film.
Yeah, we all enjoyed
concept,
it, but
yeah.
But what shows we liked it, because we're not dismissive of it, you know. We liked it, and we're like, oh, give us more.
Maybe they end up finding, like, a syringe
or, like,
years later.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, so that's pretty much all the time we got for that review. And lastly, I want to give this time to say some announcements, pretty much. So... we've done 50 episodes. We're winding down the year, everybody. So there's not really much horror movies coming out. At least not mainstream. I can't think of any more. To be honest, I thought Overlord was like the last one. I might be forgetting some, but yeah. So because of this, it's gonna be slow for movie films and everything. And also, we all kind of want a break.
The holidays
is gonna be crazy.
Scheduling
we're gonna get
difficult.
Nice and plump. So with this, I wanted to announce that after the next episode, episode 52, which will happen next week, we are going to go on a hiatus for the show. Not completely, though. Here's the thing. So pretty much, we're going to go on hiatus, but we are still going to do, if we have any interview opportunities, we'll do the interviews, but we won't be doing a weekly horror movie news, and the interviews will mainly be sprinkled out until we come back, pretty much. You guys, if you guys are able to join me on interviews, that'd be great. If not, I'll try to get Evan Mack in here as well to give interviews, to have him help me with the interviews. But yeah, so... So that's it. So it's going to be a hiatus for after next week's episode. But next week's episode, you won't want to miss, because we're going to do a cool year in review of the I want to do the top five horror films that we love that came out this year. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to do like some of our favorite guests that we had this year, because we did have a good amount.
Yeah.
Being that it was our full year of this show, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we started last October and we've gone past last October, this October. Yes. So it's pretty cool. And also next week, I'll be giving away a Suspiria poster, pretty much. So, yes, if you can show that picture, there you go. Thank you, Frank and Steve. That's the poster that I have at home. So I will be giving that away, and I will tell you how to get this poster right now.
Real quick, Rugged English has a good question. Will we give notice, and will the episodes be live or pre-taped?
So, yes, we'll give notice on our social media, on Instagram and our Twitter. We also try to be in advance as, like, when we get those interviews going, because we do want to keep you in the loop. I know it's going to be, like, sprinkled, so, like, 1 week, we might go out, like, 2 weeks without anything, and in 1 week we'll have an interview. So we'll see. We'll definitely keep you all up to date. Thank you so much, Rugged English, for showing your concern for that. It just shows that you really do care about this show, which really warms my heart.
I like payment in the chat. Says, forget hiatus. Do podcasts from your house.
Do it in bed.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to divert I want to divert my energy from this show more into the social media aspect to it while we're on hiatus.
Oh, yeah. Well, make sure to follow us on social media. I was just going to add that, too.
Exactly.
I'm like, we'll still post stuff.
Exactly.
It's not like we're not going to say anything online.
Yeah. I definitely want to go. If I see some horror films and I want to talk about them, I'm going to probably go live on the IG and then on Instagram.
Yes!
And then I'm going to make the stories folder.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a stories folder of like those reviews and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if you guys want to join, we can try to set something up and just do it on
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'll be,
we all do it separately if we can't do it together.
There you go. Yeah. It'll be
perfect.
Fun. Don't worry, guys. We got
you. We're not gone. Don't worry.
We'll be back. But we will be, I'll reiterate this again next week. We will be coming back the second Tuesday of January, and that's January 8th. And then that would lead us into Glass, which will be coming out. So right off the bat, we have a great freaking horror film. And in February, we're going to have Happy Death Day to you.
Gosh.
I know, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be fun. So we're also going to do a in the future retro, like pretty much like what's happening for horror in the future for 2019. I'll look it all up.
It's going to be a good year.
Yes.
I already know.
Yes. So for this giveaway, though, for this poster, it's only going to be from this week to next week. So that's the deadline. By next week, I'm going to announce the winner. So pretty much this is what you have to do. So you have to answer this question. Apart from Suspiria, there are two more movies that make up a trilogy. And what are they? Pretty much Dario Argento made Suspiria, and then he made them with two other films. And it's a trilogy it's kind of like the Suspiria trilogy. I can't remember the actual name of the trilogy. But it all involves mothers, pretty much, because it's Mother Suspiria, which is like the mother of sighs. And then there's others. And each film is based on the three top mothers. So what are those other two films that make up Dario Argento's trilogy? And another question is, share what you like most about our show. Pretty much anything you really like about our show, I want you to share that with us and tell us those other two film titles. And that's it. Whoever does that and gets the titles right will win this poster, and I'll send it out to you. I'll hit you up on any way we can, through email, through social media. I'll get your address and I'll send it to you right away. I know Rugged English was one of our winners of the Mandy poster, and he was pretty psyched about that. I'm glad I could appease the fans. So just to reiterate, what are those two films that make up the Suspiria trilogy by Dario Argento? And then what do you like most about our show?
Cool.
And we'll announce the winner next week on the show, and then we'll give you the mm-hmm. poster.
You gotta do it.
It's free. And it's like, it's a bloody cool S poster.
Yes. Jealous Comics says, do it for the gram, as in Instagram. And then also says, we need a show about Christmas horror movies. Maybe we'll include that on our social of our favorite horror, getting you in the vibe.
Yeah,
because it's too soon to say that.
It is. I know we went up to Christmas last year with this show, but
we did.
I'm just tired, guys. I do want a break, but it's okay. Yeah, we'll hit you up with some posts on social media with all of. Yes. I got some ideas for Thanksgiving as well.
Thanksgiving 2.
No, it's actually Thanksgiving 3, which is meta because he's looking for the sequel to Thanksgiving 1.
Yeah,
God. It's a whole thing. Ah. Anyways, thank you all so much for joining us on today's show. Next week is going to be a wonderful, just a year in review, you know, our favorite films, our favorite guests, and what we're looking forward to for 2019.
Yes.
And with that being said, thank you all for joining us. Oliver, go ahead and put yourself over.
Hey guys, I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Check me out on the Anime After Show with Carrie and Anthony. He's in the booth. We're going to be doing Soul Eater, one of the best animes ever. And also check me out on Married at First Sight on AfterBuzz at 8 p.m. tonight.
Nice.
My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And yes, we'll be talking Soul Eater. Well, I'll tell you about it. I'm not sold yet, but that's okay. And also Sunday's box office breakdown, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. Also, we just started a lore after show, so that one, our timing is a little different, so just make sure to follow AfterBuzz, and so you can get that info. And me, because I'll post about it.
Cool, Laura's back. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. My name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyB_TONY, the letter B, TONY, _, cut to the Y. All right, and until next week, this has been Horror Movie News. Go watch some movies, everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.